Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey. For the next hour, join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. Finances, raising children, and dealing with your husband through his tough times and yours. This is the place to be as Maria and her guests bring you a wealth of information on all of these topics. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
Spring is in the air, and I guess the whole world is on spring break. That means that moms, you're trying to keep your child occupied for the next couple of days. And if you are in anywhere close to the sun, I hope it remains and that you don't get that one last snowstorm that I heard is coming down the pipes for many of us. But okay, so here's my spring break dilemma and problem. I made reservations to take my daughter on a trip during spring break, and it's out of the country, so we can't change the reservations. And today I looked on the calendar and I thought her spring break was 1 week earlier than it actually is. So now I have to admit to my husband that she's going to miss 2 days of school while I take her on a spring break vacation that isn't even happening during spring break. And during spring break, now she's going to be sitting at home all alone. So talk about a mom trying to do too many things in a day, that's for sure. You know, it always happens. You multitask too much, and it always comes back sometimes to burn you in another way. Anyways, it's just one more thing I got to correct now, that's for sure. Anyhow, the weather is warming up and summer is right around the corner before we know it. I know everyone's excited for summer to get here, but, you know, I don't know about you, but I haven't done the first thing when as far as like camps or thinking about a vacation for the family and juggling all those schedules. And at some point, I just need to get my head in the game, I think. But I don't know. I think the weather, like, we kind of just came out of this cocoon all of a sudden, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's the middle of April almost. And we have done nothing about camps. Anyhow, for the next, I don't know, let's just say the next hour, we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. And I'm just happy you're here on Mom Talk Radio. Remember that our show is brought to you by Pre-Mama. Drink Pre-Mama is it's the prenatal vitamin that you don't have to swallow those big old horse pills. So remember to go to drinkpremama.com. Look them up on target.com and thank them for sponsoring Mom Talk Radio. When we come back, we have a big old show planned for you with lots of great guests. We're going to be talking with one mom who chronicled her journey of adoption, another mom who is known as Smarty Pants Mama. We've just got so much going on here at Mom Talk Radio, and I'm really happy you're here with us today. So when we return, we're going to be talking with Katie Orbridge.
Even supermoms need a little advice. Here's yours. More of Mom Talk Radio.
I am very excited to talk to our next guest because we have something in common. In a way, we have both been involved in adoption. She was an adopted child. I'm actually an adopted mother. So we come at it from two different perspectives. And Katie Olbrich is her name. And she has penned a book called The Blooming. And since she's written the book, The Blooming, she has created a wonderful community where people can openly discuss and candidly discuss adoption. And she's here to talk a little bit about it on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Katie, to Mom Talk.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about your story and why you felt like you needed to write about it.
So I am an adopted child, and I was adopted during a time when there really were no rules when it came to adoption. So there were no standardizations where you had to tell about this certain amount of information or give biographical history or anything. So there were a lot of unknowns in my adoption, and that led to questions. I had the best possible adoption experience ever. So I was adopted at 3 days old. It was a private adoption. You know, my adopted family is my family. There's no strings there, you know. But there were still questions like, well, why was I given up for adoption? What does that mean for me as an individual? And what is that? How does that impact my personality? How does that fit into the full scope of me? And I thought, right. You know, well, if I had such a wonderful experience, what about people who have had not so great experiences? Or how about foster care children who have had, you know, a rough go of it and have known family upon family and don't feel like they fit in anywhere? So what I wanted to do is create a story that approaches adoption from a place of love, from understanding, from going about adoption as the benefit of the child and for the benefit of the child and through love and through just kind of telling a story that is about the child and how the child blooms through adoption, thus the blooming.
And it's such an awesome gift that you are giving to other families who have gone through adoption. And like you, my adoption experience from the perspective of adopting my two daughters was just awesome. And it was such a great experience. And you're right, some people don't have that experience. So is the audience for your book, is it the parent who is trying to adopt? Is it the biological parent, or is it the child, or is it a little bit of both?
It is a little bit of everyone. Specifically, it is for either adoptive parents or for children in the foster care system who are being adopted as kind of an icebreaker between their caregiver and the child to facilitate a discussion about adoption from a loving place. And so it's trying to bridge a sometimes difficult concept, particularly for smaller children. So the book is aimed for ages 2 to 7. And, you know, it gives a place in the back of the book for the child to write their own adoption story and kind of make that a part of their inner dialogue as well. So it could be a wonderful gift for newly adopting parents. It could be a wonderful gift for a newly adopted child. It could be a wonderful gift for people who are just thinking about it. It could be a wonderful gift for a birth mother. But it's a loving story, and I think that's where the crux is that anybody who is impacted by adoption, who wants to feel loved and taken care of, this book is for you.
Well, and it's just such a, like I said, a gift. And so tell us a little bit about SwellForever.com.
So Swell Forever is a wonderful, wonderful boutique for any mother with a small child who wants heirloom quality products. It's run by a gorgeous lady called Brooke Hemsey. Mm-hmm. And she and I connected through a mutual friend, and she has Swell Forever is a boutique that has baby blankets, but they're not just baby blankets. They're hand woven. They are personally monogrammed. The tags have the child's name embroidered on them. I mean, everything is heirloom quality and gorgeous. And they have everything from blankets to my book to, what else did they have? They have children's clothes, little booties, all sorts of things. And we were hooked up through this mutual friend. She contacted me after I contacted her and said, I love your book. Please let me put it in my store. And I said, oh my goodness, you are the most darling thing ever. So it is there for sale now. And she also has a program kind of like my program on my website for the Blooming Book, which is for every book sold, we will donate a book to a child in the foster care system.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Just as long as you buy the hardcover book, we will match it. And hopefully, you know, that'll get more books to more kids. And we'll feel more love. So her her story is all about being swell, swell forever, good times forever, and I kind of echo that sentiment wholeheartedly. So we seem like a natural pair.
Well, that's just awesome, and you're doing so many amazing things. And I always think it's just it's the way women do business. You know, we find ways to help each other out and to connect the dots, and that's just I think the coolest thing. Katie, I want to make sure that everybody knows where they can buy your book. We have just a minute left. Can you let me know and let our audience know?
Absolutely. You guys can go to Swell Forever, S-W-E-L-L, forever.com and buy the book or any of the other amazing quality products from Brooks. Or you can go and learn more about The Blooming, learn more about our mission at thebloomingbook.com. And there is a bookstore on that website as well if you feel led to either donate a book, buy a book for yourself, or both.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on Mom Talk Radio. And we'll have a link to it on momtalkradio.com. You know, you guys, I know that many of us are making Easter baskets for our children, or at least for the Easter Bunny to deliver in the next week or so. And recently, I always try to think of things that are not candy because it's like, by the end of Easter, it's like Halloween. Okay, so we definitely have to have Reese eggs because, after all, that's my favorite candy. But, you know, just some ideas. The other day, I was putting together a basket. And check out, if you have a little kid, check out Leap TVs. They are, like, awesome. And I got one for my nieces. And, you know, it's about $100, but if you think about all the other stuff that you can buy and stuffed animals that you're going to put in that basket, it's going to last you a long time. And then gift cards, man. Oh, my kids love the gift cards in their baskets. Anyways, we are going to take a short break, and when we come back, we've got one mom who's doing pretty amazing things online, and she calls herself Smarty Pants Mama. I'm really excited to have on my show today because I never get someone that like kind of lives close by where I live. But Caroline Murphy is with us today. She actually lives in Miami, just down the road from me. And she's the mother of two, a three-year-old and an eight-year-old. And she blogs at smartypantsmama.com. You can follow her on Twitter at smartypantsmama. And she's joining us. That's we're going to put the spotlight on her. And welcome, Caroline, to Mom Talk Radio.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here to chat with you guys today.
Well, so Caroline, doesn't it seem like every family in the world is in South Florida right now on spring break? I don't know about your streets.
Right? And if they're not here, they want to be here, right?
The weather exactly.
is beautiful, especially this time of year. So we're getting all sorts of snowbirds down here and spring breakers, you name it. Absolutely, it's beautiful.
So one of the things that you know a lot about, because you do live in South Florida and in Miami in particular, are cruises. And people are always asked, I'm not a cruise person, but you've got some good advice for those moms and dads who are planning cruises or looking for one, right?
Absolutely. I mean, number one, if you live in Miami or any of the dozens and dozens of port cities here in the States, you got to take advantage of cruising because it's, to me, far easier to get on a cruise ship than to get on a plane with the family because you just walk on board, security isn't as crazy, and it's a few days, a week long, maybe some of you guys 2 weeks long of fun, and you're not driving anywhere, no one's cooking, everyone's doing everything for you. And I find it to be just such a great way of having family travel when it's right here in our backyard.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. And also, I think that even if you're flying somewhere, a cruise, it's just good because it's kind of contained. Everybody can do their own thing and then come back together at dinner time.
Absolutely. When we've done several family cruises, and we're actually doing one in about 2 weeks again. What I love about it is, you know, here, yes, we're right here in Miami, so I just drive down to the port of Miami, but people fly in all the time, you know, to head to some of these large ships, is that you get on the boat on the ship, and the kids are in heaven. They've got kids clubs and programs. Some of these ships have ice skating rinks and bowling alleys. I mean, there's stuff for everyone. Of course, the casino and the fabulous restaurants too. We love it. But what I love most about cruising is that you actually get to go places. You know, if we get on the car, especially living here in South Florida, if we're going to go anywhere, it takes me like 7 hours just to leave the state.
Right.
On a cruise ship, the next morning I'm in another country. The morning after that, I'm somewhere else. I love that. And you really get to do so much.
How do you find the best deals for your family?
How do I find? Well, when you live in a port city, you really can snap in on those last-minute cruise fares because they come up. You know, the cruise industry wants to have somebody in all of those cabins. So if you look at the cruise lines that are sailing out of the port cities that you can, you know, drive to easily on a weekend, and look, and they often have these last-minute fares that are really affordable for families. So definitely tap into that. A lot of times I'll see those, like, friends and families deals. You know, I've got some friends that work in some of the cruise lines, and, yeah, can you help me get a deal? And sometimes they can.
Yeah, it's and then once you're on the ship, do you have any tips for just, you know, moms and dads that might be their first cruise? Like, do you bring all the same color shirts or any tips like that?
Yeah. You know, number one, when the first cruise I did with my family, my youngest was 15 months and I was freaking out. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. She's so little. She wasn't potty trained. What about the diapers? I went on like every other mom. And I talked to some friends who had been there, done that. And I got some great advice. And number one, the people on this cruise ship, especially the ones that are working with the kids, they're experts. They're pros at this. They know what it's like. And they have all the resources available for you. Of course, you want to go prepared. You want to talk to your kids a little bit. It's not like at home. They don't have phones. They don't, you know, it's not, things are a little bit different. But just sort of giving them a heads up, getting them prepared, and putting a little bit of trust and faith in the cruise line, especially with these kids clubs and kids programs they have. But they know what they're doing. And the kids, I'm telling you, every time we go on a cruise, my kids love me and they love my husband, but they get so excited to say goodbye and jump into the kids program on the ship because they have a blast and the counselors there know what they're doing and they're safe and they're having fun and I'm having fun too.
There you go. Well, have fun on your cruise. And
thank you.
I want to encourage everybody to go to SmartyPantsMama.com because clearly she is very smart. So Caroline, thank you so much for joining us and have a great cruise in the next couple of weeks.
Thank you. And thank you, Maria, for taking time to chat. Have a great day.
You're welcome. And when we return, we're going to turn our attention to Kelly Blue Books, managing editor, who's going to talk to us about the videos that they have on KellyBlueBook.com.
Mothers of America, this hour belongs to you. It's Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
So, ironically, our next guest comes from a website that I was actually going to go visit this week because I go to it often to see how much longer I have to own my car before I can get out of it. It is Kelly Blue Book, and Micah Muzio is visiting us from KBB.com. He is actually the managing editor of their video, and they got a lot of stuff on there, moms, that you definitely want to check out. We were talking about the summer, and that may entail a driving trip. So Micah is here to talk to us about what's on KBB.com. So welcome, Micah.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, we've got a ton of great stuff, a lot of great information, and a lot of great information for moms, so I'm here to help.
Oh, good. So tell us about what's on the site and what would be relevant to us.
Well, you know, the big things are, you know, when you go to the dealership, oftentimes it can be a very intimidating experience for everybody, you know, and you want to learn more about the vehicle. You want to make the best decision possible because it's a huge investment. You know, next to your house, your car is your the biggest investment you'll make. So one of the things that we really try to do is to distill all the technical jargon and, you know, just the sheer variety of choices that that face, you know, modern car buyers, you know, down to a digestible form. So, you know, before you go to the car dealership, you can do a ton of research at KBB.com and kind of figure out, kind of start to narrow in on which of the cars, you know, of the 300-something cars that are out there might work best for your very specific needs.
Yeah. So you were saying like it's the biggest investment, and I'm thinking to myself as the mother of four kids, I'm like, okay, then why do I keep buying cars in my family? but I do use your site all the time because for me to kind of break down the information before I'm flooded at the dealership level just makes all the sense in the world to me. And also the fact that I want to make sure I'm not underwater with the vehicles that I own. So yeah. What are the top items that families should know before buying a car?
Well, I think, you know, maybe the first step to take is an honest assessment of your actual needs. You know, you mentioned you've got four kids, and, you know, that has some implications in the kind of vehicle that you're going to have to buy. You know, the minivan is sort of a standard check, the box that you check when you've got a family, but that might not be right for everybody. You know, just having unnecessary extra size doesn't really do you much, do much good for your pocketbook, you know, when it comes to fuel economy and simple stuff just like, you know, parking. That kind of thing. So, you know, just think about, you know, how much space do you actually need? I mean, if you can get by with a compact SUV or maybe even, you know, a wagon or a hatchback, maybe something like the Golf, you know, Volkswagen Golf Sport Wagon, you know, that might be a great way to save yourself money in terms of fuel costs and then also have something that's a little bit easier to park, you know, because, you know, when you're going to, you know, Whole Foods or, you know, Target or whatever, you know, it could be a real hassle, you know, swinging into a spot, you know, if you've got a big old SUV or a mini.
Yeah, that's right. So what about timing? Is there a particular time either during the month or the year that we should look at buying a car?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, you know, dealerships tend to work on quotas. And so the end of the month tends to be a pretty good time to go in where, you know, they want to make, they'll make particularly aggressive deals so they can hit their numbers. Same thing goes for the end of the model year. And that's not necessarily the same as the end of the calendar year. But if you, you know, go onto the dealership lot, you know, maybe starting in September or October in that time range, or maybe even December if they still have, you know, some of the previous model year on the lot, you can tend to get a pretty good deal. It just depends on how many of the vehicles they have left sitting around. And then also, you know, if you're trying to figure out which day of the week, weekdays tend to be pretty good just because there are fewer other buyers out there. So they might be a bit more inclined to wheel and deal with you if you're in a mood to negotiate.
Yeah. So, and then what about like, on your website, do you have anything about the financing? Because that's the other thing that I realized, you know, everybody kind of does the bait and switch where they might advertise a good price, but then you're paying a little bit more on the financing side. So does your site help us with those kind of decisions?
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely have information about financing. I mean, if I said, you know, could offer one piece of advice, it would be to, especially now, you know, in the age of the internet, it's so easy to get pre-approved for financing prior to going on to the lot. And if you do that, that gives you some great point of negotiation. So you don't just have to accept whatever the, you know, the people in the finance department at the dealership offer you. So, you know, go do a little bit of research and, you know, it's pretty easy to find, you know, financing for your vehicle before you even go to shop. And then when you do, maybe they'll beat that number. That, you know, that's a pretty good starting point for your negotiation. And I guess as long as I'm mentioning negotiations, another really great thing to think about is what are people actually paying for the vehicle you want in your area? You know, because if you base your pricing on MSRP, that's not really accurate. Most people don't pay MSRP, but it's tough to know, okay, well, so how far from MSRP, are people, actually buying the vehicle for them? And so, self-promoting moment here, but KBC.com does have a really great resource in our fair purchase price, which literally shows you what people are paying for your vehicle in your area. And it's just a really great resource to know, okay, this is kind of what a good deal should look like. Or this is about what a fair deal is. And, I can push harder if I'm really aggressive with my negotiation, or I can say, okay, this is what most people are paying. I'm cool with that. I just want to make sure that I'm not, making a dumb deal.
Yeah, that's right. No one likes to make a dumb deal on a car. So the site is Kelley Blue Book, but you can find it at KBB.com. And there you'll find all the cool videos and all the great information. I got to tell you guys, I'm not just saying this. I actually use it quite often. I'm kind of a car freak anyways, but I love when I can go to Kelley Blue Book to look something up quicker. So thank you so much, Micah, for joining me. And we'll have a link to KBB.com on Mom Talk Radio. When we return, we're going to turn our attention to twins. Yes, we have the founder of Twinsiversity.
Even supermoms need a little advice. Here's yours. More of Mom Talk Radio.
Okay, so we've talked about the ways to have children today so far on Mom Talk Radio. The first segment, we talked about adoption. Now we're going to talk about having more than one at a time. And we have the expert on that, Natalie Diaz. She's the founder of twinsiversity.com, the leading resource for twin parenting support and resources. She's also the author of a book, What to Do When You're Having Two. And I just love the title to that book. And welcome, Natalie, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you, Maria. Thanks for having me.
So what happens at the moment, Natalie, that you're in the doctor's office and they say, oh, guess what? You're having two.
Oh, my God. The funny thing is that there's so many things that happen in your life. And I think that that's one of those moments you cannot possibly forget. We had we'd been trying for 5 years to get pregnant. And so, just finding out that we were pregnant through like a urine test was overwhelming. And when we went in for the sonogram, the doctor was like, when you go in for the first one, he's like, and there's one heartbeat. And I'm thinking to myself, like, why is he saying there's one heartbeat? Like, why would you say that? And then he said, and there's the second. And that was the exact way he phrased it. And I looked at him and I'm like, what are you talking about? I literally said, what are you talking about? The second heartbeat. But there was a second heartbeat. And the first words out of my husband's mouth were, we have to move. It wasn't even like, congratulations, or this is great. We live in a very small apartment in New York City, and I'm born and raised in this building, and I really had no intention on leaving. So to think about raising twins in a small New York City apartment was very overwhelming. But I don't know. I know that a lot of, if you have twin moms, the twin moms that are out there, I know that I'm not alone in saying that the first time you find out, it's excitement, but there's almost a tiny bit of disappointment, and that sounds selfish. But, you think about like having one baby and walking through the street and going to the park with your one baby. And then, you find out that there's a second heartbeat and it's like, you hear this car screech and you're like, how am I going to do this? What am I going to do? And you kind of go into panic mode. So it takes a minute, but I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Yeah. It's, I didn't come to mine aren't twins, but they're 5 months apart. And when you find out you got two at once, it's like, oh, it's such a gift. So why did you feel like you had to write the book?
Well, when I was expecting my twins, I had purchased every book that was out there. And I even bought some books that were from Australia. There's actually quite a big multiple birth population in Australia. So I bought all these books, and the books were very one-sided or another. So they were either very medically heavy, and it was talking about, twin birth complications, like very medically heavy, or the other ones were just very pro-breastfeeding, and I'm not anti-breastfeeding, but they all had one voice. Mm-hmm. And so what I said was I really needed a variety of opinions. Like, it's not every pregnancy and every time somebody has a family, it's not a one-size-fits-all. And it should never be. That's the great part about being you, right, is that you get to make your own choices. So I said when the kids started kindergarten, if nobody did something like this, that I was just going to do it. And I had never written anything before. I don't have like this, you know, long pedigree or this advanced degree in writing. I just really had a very humble intention to make sure that people had a variety of opinions and then they got to choose what was best for them when it comes to expecting twins.
Yeah. And so what do you think as far as having twins? You know, there's some people that have Irish twins, right?
Absolutely,
what do you
think is the
biggest challenge for you?
I think the biggest challenge is trying to balance being the best mom to both of them. Or, you know, it's making sure that everybody gets enough attention. And it's very hard to be equal with twins. Like, you can't say, oh, you know, I read you one book and now I have to go read your sister a book. Or I spend 15 minutes playing cards with you and I have to do that. So I think the hardest part is that I'm trying to be equal, but you really can't. So I just try to be fair. You know, like if I'm spending, you know, snuggle time with one, I have to make sure that the other one gets an equal opportunity. That's the biggest challenge, I think, for me is just making sure that everybody in my house feels like they're getting the time that they're due, including my husband. Like,
right.
I don't want anybody to pay a price for the fact that we had so many kids all at once.
Well, and let me just tell you something. So as a mom who had two children leave the nest at the same time, I can say that one of the other biggest challenges is having two college tuition bills to pay. Like you don't just into that. It's like, bam, there you have it. Not only is your house suddenly...
I can't even imagine.
Well, it's not even the money. It's that suddenly, like, I went from having four kids in the house and, you know, I love that noise and the activity to, like, suddenly there was half that number because two left, you know? And it was so quiet and so calm and so sad, you know, that like they didn't just leave one at a time. It was like two of them just left at once, you know. So
is it horrible to say that I hope that everybody goes to college locally? That bad?
Yeah, it kind of is because, you know, the love of a mom is supposed to be selfish, right? You know, and
I know.
It's so, like, it's the hardest thing in the world to send your kids off. So where can moms go to find your book and where can they find this great resource you have online?
Well, what to do when you're having two could be found in, you know, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It could also be found at your local library. So that was one of the very important things to me is that, you know, not everybody could even afford a book. And I don't want somebody to make a choice over, you know, educating themselves and choosing even a manicure for themselves. So the book is available nationwide in most libraries. I got a very good review from the libraries. And it's on Amazon. It's actually a bestseller on Amazon, which consistently has been that way since it launched. So
that's
to me,
awesome.
That definitely says that I'm doing something right.
Well, congratulations, and you're a great mom, a great resource, and a very good friend. So we've got a link to it all on Mom Talk Radio, so check it out. Thank you, Natalie, so much, and have a great great spring up there in New York City. When we return, we're going to turn our attention to the Tooth Fairy. Do it like a Whitman's box of chocolates. I just open, I take one bite, I go, that was really good. I throw out the rest. And I let my kids do the same thing because I feel like by the end of the night, we've gotten it all out of our system.
Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
So we've all had our tooth fairy stories, like forgetting to put the tooth under the pillow. But one mom has created a lot of solutions for us and really become the queen of this. Her book is called Teeth Fairies, A Baby Teeth Tradition. And her name is Ingrid Biscani. And she joins us here today on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Ingrid.
Hi, thank you.
So tell me a little bit about what you're doing and the ideas and concepts that you have in your book and online.
Sure. Well, Teeth Fairies I created when my oldest daughter got her first loose tooth. I wanted to find something fresh, something new related to the Tooth Fairies, because she had so many questions about it. So I was surprised not to find anything when I went on my search initially. So I was a teacher for many years, and I just wrote my own story and tried the whole concept with her, and she loved it. It's basically when a child gets a loose tooth, the head tooth fairy sends a tooth fairy in training to the child, and it's the tooth fairy's job to watch over and make sure the kids are brushing, they're flossing, they're eating healthy, and she goes back to report to the head fairy. She lets them know if they're doing a good job. And she comes back to a new place every day to watch over kids. Sometimes they're in. Sometimes when they come back, they sit in silly places. They like to play games. So my daughter got a real kick out of that.
So one of the things that most moms, I guess, like go into a panic is how much money to give or what to do for that tooth. Do you have any suggestions for that?
Well, that was another thing that I wanted to address when I wrote the story. It's meant to provide a lot of flexibility for moms. There's no more under the pillow. The place where the tooth fairy was last is the place where you leave the gift. And it doesn't have to be money necessarily. It could be a coupon for something special for that day. It could be something that your child has told her fairy that she would like. It could be coins or money. So it's pretty much very flexible. It's whatever you think would be the best thing to make your child happy.
And then where can the moms find the book?
The book is available on our website, teethfairies.com. Mm-hmm. It's also available on Amazon. It's coming very soon to FAO Schwartz, Nordstrom, Barnes & Noble, and lots of other fine retailers across the nation.
And what about, what else will mom find on the website if she goes to your website?
We've gotten such fantastic endorsements from pediatric dentists, so you can find some dental tips. There's also some parent tips. There's games for kids to play, and we plan on putting lots of games for children, apps as well, coming up soon.
Very, very cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Ingrid, and we have a link to you on Mom Talk Radio. It's teethfairies.com. You know, you guys, speaking of teeth, make sure that you're not putting too much candy in the Easter baskets. There's lots of really cool things out there that don't incur sugar. There's lots of really great new toys, and don't forget school items too, you know, like new pens and pencils and a book. How about that? Yeah, a book. There's lots of other stuff besides candy, although I will be, you know, I gave up popcorn for Lent, so I will be eating popcorn come Easter Sunday. Cannot wait to have popcorn and bubblegum again, the two things that I gave up for Lent. And I want to thank you for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. It's been fun. I hope you'll come back next week. And remember, you can find all the shows online on our app. And all the downloads are free, even our app. You can get our app on iTunes. And if you don't feel like listening and you want to watch, you can go to our sister station. It's like our sister website, Mom TV. We got you covered, whether it's like video or it's reading a blog or it's on Twitter. I mean, like, we've got you totally covered. And we got your back, moms. So you can go to momtv.com. We have videos there that are produced for moms, by moms like yourself. And some are funny, some are informative, some are product reviews, but it's a really great way. If you don't have time to listen to me, you can actually watch myself and a lot of other moms who have uploaded videos to momtv.com. And soon you're going to find us in a really cool place that I can't talk about yet, but I will come this summer. So have a great week, everyone, and stay warm. Get out in the sun if the sun is starting to shine in your area. And we'll see you again here next week on Mom Talk Radio.